Welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church this lovely October morning.
Welcome to those who are young.
And those who are not so young.
Welcome to all visitors.
As well as those who attend regularly.
Welcome to those here in person.
And those who will listen to this service at a later date.
We are happy to see you.
We are continuing this Sunday with our three-part series, Community, Worship, and Mission. First, we looked at the role of community in the life of the church. Second in that series was worship. What is it? How do we do it? And that is our emphasis today. So let us worship God together by singing number 6 in your Sing the Journey book. And please stand if you are able.
There are many options for languages, and I invite you to sing whichever ones you like. We'll all sing together and praise God in whatever language we feel. You can choose one or more. I'm going to start with the first one and kind of try to work my way through.
For our call to worship this morning, we'd like you to turn to number 662 in the blue hymnal, 662. Come, let us worship.
For we are the people of God's pasture.
Come, let us worship and bow down.
For we are the sheep of God's hands.
Come, let us worship and bow down before the Lord, our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and His God desires our worship.
Amen. Let us worship God together by singing number 124 in the same blue hymnal, O Worship the Lord, number 124.
Amen.
And in the blue, Prairie Street Sings, number 72. Number 72, Something Which Is Known, and let's stand up to worship.
Confession and repentance are at the heart of Christian faith. They are the continual reminder to us that our earthly natures are so very close to the surface. In the same way that we cleanse our hands by washing them often, so too it is good to remind ourselves that in prayer, that without the presence of God's Spirit in our lives, we are likely to stumble. Confession earths our lives in the love of God. It keeps us humble, and it enables us to be a blessing to others. So let us pray. I will pause at several points for your own personal confessions. Let us pray. God of healing, God of wholeness, we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, our fears and despair, and lay them at your feet. Lord, take our sinfulness to those cleansing waters of your forgiveness and wash us so that we might know refreshment and release. And thank you, God, for your forgiveness is total. You have no notebook, no tape recorder, or post-it notes to remind us of that moment when you take our confession offered with outstretched hands and gently, like the loving God you are, you put it to one side to be forgotten. No grudges, no itching for judgment, no resentment or ill will, not like us, who find it easy to say sorry, but so hard to forgive, absolutely. Lord, teach us to forgive as you forgive. Amen. Brothers and sisters, isn't it wonderful that the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has mercy on us and forgives our sins through our Lord Jesus? Let us share the peace of Christ, the peace of God with the world, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding, As you finish the peace with one another, we invite the children to come forward. Francis has a message for all of you.
Today, I brought one of my favorite pictures because our scripture reading today is going to talk about how we are God's people, the sheep of his pasture. And I'd like you to look at that picture. Let's get it square just a bit. Do you see anything interesting? They're all sheep. Good, good. Do you like the picture? I like it. But I like it because of the picture it is. I like the sheep. But there's another reason I like it, because like many pieces of art, it has a special message. And it's a little bit tricky. The clue to the message, there is a clue here. Who's a good counter? You want to count and tell me how many sheep there are? Yeah, go ahead. What do you think? You got to watch carefully. One guy's kind of hidden. 12 sheep. That's a clue. Does anyone know why this picture is special if there are 12 sheep? Any ideas? All right, grown-ups, give us a hint. 12 sheep. 12 disciples. And you know what? If you look down in the corner, I saw Pastor Carolyn kind of squinting in a little pencil. The artist has written the name of the picture, 12 disciples. And I really like that. This is made by a woman, a nun, and I couldn't help but think she liked the idea of these men who are always so important being these sort of sweet, interested, curious looking sheep. And if you see, there's a variety of them. This guy looks kind of important and solemn, doesn't he? And then if we look carefully, I'm so glad you caught the one that's kind of hiding. In fact, I can hardly even see him from there. There's one that's just really tucked in there. And some of them have their ears up, and some of them have their ears down. And I don't know enough about sheep. Maybe somebody else does. I'm guessing they were feeling a little different. The up ears seem a little cheerier. The down ears seem a little bit like maybe they had a little bit of a harder day. But the scripture says that we are God's sheep in many different places and in many different ways. So I really like this picture showing sheep and the 12 disciples as God's sheep of his pasture, of God's pasture. So today we are going to do our Bible procession, and it's going to be the last time we do the procession for a while, because next week we're going to have something else happening, and we will also pass the basket, thank you, pass the basket around for a little bit of offering, or like we'd like to say, a blessing, just a blessing by touching the basket. Thank you so much. All right, the scripture is from Psalm 100. We're going to go to the back. And we're going to go get the scripture and bring it up, and we're going to have a special reading today. Thank you, Ron, for holding our picture today. Let's go do the procession.
In the Blue Prairie Street Sings, number 1.
Our scripture today is taken from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Salmo 100. Canten alegres al Señor, habitantes de toda la tierra. Sirvan al Señor con alegría. Vengan a su presencia con regocijo.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Reconozcan que el Señor es Dios. Él nos hizo y de él somos. Somos su pueblo. Somos las ovejas de su prado.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Entremos por sus puertas y por sus atrios, con alabanzas y con acción de gracias. Alabémosle, bendigamos su nombre. El Señor es bueno, su misericordia es eterna, su verdad permanece para siempre.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
For our worship this morning, we have testimonies. At the beginning of the service, I reminded us that this is part of a three-part series on community, worship, and mission. And we are in that middle part, worship. And today we have some testimonies from the worship part. In worship, the church enters into God's presence and opens itself. Why are we together? What created the gathered community? We are discipled by the actions of worship and formed by storytelling and preaching. We are nourished by singing and music, transformed by prayer, touched by ritual, giving the arts, the space itself, and shaped by all of our participation. Shaped and formed into this faithful community by God's story in human history and by our experiences of that. Each person, each voice, each presence, each one of you contributes to the worship experience. Your voice in song, when you extend your hand for the peace, passing of the peace, the very place of you here in the sanctuary, and your response, your prayers, all that moves you inside is worship. Today, we have three people coming to share a part of their worship experience here at Prairie Street. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Lord God, we come to you because you came first to us. You love us, and together we have experienced that. Your love enfolds us and embraces us. Today we give testimony and we give thanks for how that has shaped our lives. May the words of our speakers' mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. In thy name we pray. Amen.
I'm Heather Smith Blaha, and I've been asked to share about my worship experiences as a member who grew up as part of the congregation. As a kid, I remember being included in the worship of the church in various ways, such as drama, dance, and playing music. So I'm going to talk a little bit about each one of them, with an emphasis on the music. I remember one time my Sunday school class was asked to prepare a skit about Zacchaeus to perform on Sunday morning. We were planning it out, who was going to do what and where we were going to be in the sanctuary, and I sat there slouching in the bench, really, really grumpily. And finally somebody noticed, or maybe I just came out with it, but I said, "It's not fair. In all these Bible stories, the boys get all the good parts." So moments later, I was given the role of Zacchaeus. This was something I wasn't really expecting, but I was really excited about it. I was excited to wear a crazy amount of costume jewelry, and most of all, I was excited that I got to run over here and climb up this huge tree prop that Milo had created for just this skit. And it was the highlight of several weeks at least for me, the opportunity to be a part of this in a way that I wasn't expecting to. I learned from this experience that a desire to participate would always be met with opportunity. When Anne Mitchell came to this church, she had experience and a desire to have liturgical dance as part of worship. For several years, I periodically participated in dances that would fit with worship at Lent or Advent or another time of the year that kind of fit with the dance that fit with the time of year. There were a few other girls who participated in these as well. I never really have considered myself a dancer, and in all likelihood, I never will. But my participation in this way was also welcomed. Being honest, I wasn't always excited to participate in them. There are sometimes I was and sometimes I wasn't, but I liked that somebody who wasn't a dancer could come to church and could dance. I liked coming to a church where one of the things you might see or experience at church would be a liturgical dance. It's a far cry from the Mennonites don't dance tradition to welcome dance into our worship service. I grew up seeing Janice's creations of art or arrangements of flowers up here on the front table. The first time I was asked to do something for the display, I was quite intimidated by the prospect. I went over to Janice's house and we walked around outdoors looking at all of the different plants with the variety of colors and textures and forms before we started cutting anything. We decided there was so much exciting texture and variety just in the grasses and the green plants that we put together a bouquet that was almost exclusively green. And at the end, we did add a few orange flowers, but it was an arrangement of rich and playful variety. Alone, neither of us would have come up with just that arrangement, but we each brought ideas and opinions to the garden and left with something beautiful. The first time I was asked to play music at church was not too long after I started to play violin. The song that I was asked to play was Eat This Bread, and I'm pretty sure that it was a communion Sunday. After that, I was asked to help with music every once in a while, and then more and more frequently. And by the time I was in high school, bringing my violin and participating in worship in this way was starting to become the norm rather than the exception. I'm not sure exactly when this happened, because it happened very gradually. I remember one week I thought, it's been a long time since I've come and just watched a service. So Sunday morning when Mom asked if I was coming, I said something like, actually, I think I'll just come later. It might be nice to just watch today. I don't remember what she said, but the takeaway was that I was part of the music team now, and I couldn't just not show up without notice. I resented this for a very short amount of time, but it turned out fine in the end because I love being part of the music. It was a bit of a shock to me to think of something at church actually depending on me rather than my contributions just being a little extra thing on the side. I began to realize the integral role that music played in the congregation and to appreciate the role that I played in music. There were times when we had three cellos, a viola, two violins, somebody on the drum set, someone on the piano, and various other instruments as well. And this was something that I really enjoyed a lot. When I went to college, I attended Bluffton First Mennonite Church, where I got involved in the church in other ways, with teaching the youngest Sunday schoolers, but I wasn't really involved in the worship services. It was an interesting change of pace, but I always enjoyed coming home and just showing up with my violin and being able to participate. Coming back to Prairie Street after college was in some ways difficult. Most of my childhood and MYF friends had moved on to other places, and there were new young adults from the seminary and Jubilee House who I didn't know at all. There were many people who I grew up seeing weekly who just weren't there anymore. I was in a strange place where the newer people kind of saw me as an adult, but the people I grew up with, knowing at Prairie Street, kind of still saw me as a kid, and neither of these things really felt like they were true exactly or not true exactly. I didn't really know how I would fit in with the congregation at that point. And there wasn't really a regular Sunday school class for people my age group the way it was for kids, and I don't think I really wanted there to be, but I wasn't sure what I did want. there to be. So being part of the music team, being part of creating music, gave me a place to fit. It gave me a job that I knew I could do well and allowed me to experience community and worship together with the congregation without feeling uncomfortable about who I was or what I was supposed to be doing. It allowed me to contribute to the life of the church. Over the years, I've come to appreciate the flexibility of those who lead music. They come with a plan and ideas, but also a willingness to collaborate, to work together with the musicians, to listen to our voices and ideas, and let us try things that may or may not really work out in the end. And to me, the act of creating music knits us together as a community. For me, it creates those thin places where I can feel the presence of God just a little bit more clearly. For me, creating music is the most authentic way for me to worship as part of a congregation. So I feel really blessed to be able to be part of this at Prairie Street.
My name is Brian Suter, and I've been asked to share about my experiences at worship here at Prairie Street as a newer attender to this congregation. About 2 years ago, I was fresh off my graduation from Goshen College, and I was pretty well established in a full-time job as a programmer in Goshen. And I had hopped around to a few churches during college, but I'd never really plugged into any particular place. My church selection during college was less about worship or pastoral styles and more about which group of friends were going that particular Sunday and whether I could hitch a ride or bike to church. And admittedly, I probably spent a majority of Sundays at what can affectionately be called Mattress Mennonite or Bedside Baptist, depending on your persuasion. And I had been very intentional and excited, in fact, about attending a Christian college and thinking that would be the surefire, time-tested way to deepen my faith. But it turns out that a healthy spiritual life wouldn't just diffuse to me through my pillow, no matter how religious my campus was. But here I was, 2 years ago, a college graduate with a real job, finally looking for my own church home to settle into. Growing up, I had only really ever attended my parents' church, Kern Road Mennonite in South Bend, and I had been baptized there in high school. Though I maybe didn't realize it at the time, my time at Kern Road was deeply formational for me as a person, but also for my understanding of worship and what it's like to be a part of a congregation. And I think some of that background information is important here. During my middle school years, Kern Road had four pastors, two of whom were women, and I had plenty of strong female and male role models in leadership in the congregation, and I may not realize how lucky I was to have had that. It was a congregation blessed with great lay leaders, too, those who weren't afraid to lend their own style to the worship service. And Kern Road has sent a number of pastoral interns and leaders onto their own congregations. I think Kern sees itself as kind of a training or sending congregation, which I think is something that Prairie Street identifies with as well. And I think worship can really benefit from those leaders in training, giving leaders a chance to experiment and grow, and giving the congregation a chance to connect with God in a new way. At Kern Road, it wasn't uncommon to hear feminine or gender-neutral terms for God, opening prayers with terms like mothering God, and I really appreciated that, and I think really resonated with that. Kern Road also draws a number of peace-minded graduate students from the Kroc Institute for Peace Studies at Notre Dame each semester, and there are a number of university-connected folks in the congregation, too. And although the structure of worship is really pretty similar to what we do here at Prairie Street, at times, I think there were some more liturgical elements and language that showed some of that Catholic influence, too, and I think those things resonated with me as well. And Kern is a church community that still means a lot to me and probably always will, but I never really considered going back there full-time after graduation, at least not yet. I knew I needed some place to call my own, some place to make my own connections, and some place to listen to different sermons and hear different perspectives and hear different worship music and form my own opinions. That community at Kern was something I valued so much, but I think maybe I wanted to prove to myself that I could find a new community on my own. I'm not entirely sure how I started coming regularly to Prairie Street. I certainly visited a number of Mennonite churches in Elkhart and Goshen, and I I don't really remember what it was that kept me coming back to Prairie Street. I think maybe I was intrigued by a church that was so intentional about being a part of its community in this particular neighborhood in South Central Elkhart. It would have been certainly more comfortable and maybe conventional to move to the suburbs, but this congregation chose to remain here. I think I was intrigued by a church that was so committed to including and welcoming the Latino members of our community, committed to reading scripture and singing and preaching and praying in both Spanish and English. That's the context of this congregation, and to me, worship means more in context. I can be spiritually moved by a variety of worship styles, of music styles, of language. I can be spiritually moved by being alone out in nature. But the worship planners and the musicians and the pastors and the sound booth techs and the translators and everyone who plays a role in this congregation has a part of creating that context. And that's some of what Jeanette was saying as she introduced us, that anyone who plays any kind of role in this congregation has a part in shaping what worship is here at Prairie Street. And that creates a completely unique worship experience that you can't get anywhere else. And I think that's part of what this worship series is all about, that the fact that the worship and the community and the mission, all those things are interrelated, and in some ways you can't separate them. They all create the context of this place. And to me, worship means more in context. I studied physics in college, and sometimes problems would be set up to take place in a vacuum, a frictionless vacuum. And the idea was that this would make problems easier, so objects would move around purely according to the equations of motion without having to worry about pesky things like friction or air resistance. But we don't worship in a vacuum, thankfully, for lots of reasons. That would suck. We don't worship in a vacuum. So there's going to be some friction. There's going to be resistance, and it may not be easy to solve. But it's who we are. Prairie Street is a church with a rich history. Yet it doesn't seem to be constrained by its history, but rather we're trying to learn from it and share it. And I think that's what's going on in the Fellowship Hall right now with the Timeline Project. We don't want Prairie Street's history to be a barrier to newcomers, but we want to use it as a way to teach the unique context of this place. I started coming to Prairie Street about 2 years ago, and certainly I've missed Sundays here and there, and I certainly don't know everybody yet. And given Prairie Street's history, sometimes I do still feel like a newcomer, depending on how long you've been here. But I have been here long enough to see that Prairie Street has changed a lot in 2 years. And certainly my life has changed a lot in 2 years, too. But it's those changes that continue to shape the unique context of this place and this congregation. And to me, worship means more in context.
I consider this a great privilege to be ushered to the lectern this morning by two wonderful younger people. Thank you. Worshiping here at Prairie Street has been most central to my life over many years. Officially, I began looking out at the congregation by being a worship leader. And I think at the time, I was the very first female who stood up here in front of the congregation and led worship. It was a thriving experience that I will always treasure. As you can see, my roots are deep. here at Prairie Street Church. When my husband George had completed his medical residency in Milwaukee in 1962, count, our family located in Elkhart, where he would begin his practice. We will also be able to attend a Mennonite church again. We had been attending other denominations for over 4 years. We visited one congregation in Elkhart before we received a hearty invitation to come to Prairie Street. I remember Boyd Nelson's warm invitation to attend the Open Circle Sunday School class, where we appreciated teaching and making many friends. Some of them are still a part, close part, of my life now. Our 2-year-old son David anticipated his visit downstairs in the nursery with 7 or 8 or 10 other preschoolers, always comforted by Nate and Frida Reif. There was an upstairs nursery in the back for babies, and there were always babies to tend. My first invitation after we began coming here was to be on the flower committee, and I was asked by Mary Mishler. I had no idea how to arrange flowers for the front of a church. I'm not even sure I had ever attended a church that had flowers in the front. I don't remember that at all. I certainly never created anything like Janice has here in front of us. But there was a man by the name of Joe Toussaint who had a flower shop around the corner on Main Street. And when I explained to him what my need was, he very carefully selected some of the larger blooms during the week, set them aside, and on Saturday, he and I would make an arrangement for us to present here on the Sunday morning service. I don't remember what any of them looked like. Soon after, I began teaching Sunday school class, and I have great memories of teaching the junior class, pre-MYFers. We always tried to cover the lesson, but it was a beautiful time because I would be challenged by current issues and topics that were of interest to the people in the class. And sometimes we went rather far astray, and I'd have to say, I will ask about that because I don't have the answer. I served on the Education Commission, or committee, I'm not sure which it was called, but it was chaired by Clarence Lichty. I mention this because all the committees were chaired only by men. And those men then composed the members of church council. There were no women's voices. I also shared the kitchen duties with Mary Alice Miller and others who helped serve after the potluck dinners. And there was always cleanup. I remember my surprise when I first saw a male washing dishes. And I was delighted that we could share chores. One Sunday, Russell Crable, who was the preacher, At that time, there was never any third person up here on the platform. There was the preacher and the song leader. But one Sunday, Russell was planning for an upcoming Sunday service. Each of the commissions was to inform the congregation about its purposes and ways to serve. They were all men speaking. But seeing me in passing, he offhandedly asked me to report on women's work in the congregation. Time limit, about 15 minutes. I rather brashly responded that I would only need 5 minutes. We had sewing quietly on Thursday morning. We taught Sunday school classes, and we served food and cleaned up afterward. I think I forgot the flower committee then. That was women. But I added, if you wanted a full-blown story of how women could be used as servants of God in worship and other ways, I would be happy to make a presentation. At the moment, I never thought that idea would be at all optional. And for a moment, I didn't assume there was any answer. But he reflected, and I have to wonder where that thought came from. I really don't know what motivated me to make the response that I did. He reflected that that might need to be called a sermon, and that idea wasn't acceptable to Russell or to me after I had some time to think about it. And so the subject was dropped easily. Some weeks later, Russell called and wanted to explore the idea. By now, I had been informed that no woman other than Minnie Graber had ever been here in the pulpit, and she gave a report on mission work in India. This began to be much more daunting than preparing a message. The name feminist came strongly into my thinking on many fronts, in employment, in admission to professional schools, in salaries. Women were experiencing waves of activity for self-development. The Feminine Mystique, a book that was a leader in 1964, was followed by dozens of volumes, some flaming with anger. I had to ask myself, did I want to carry that identity? An agitator, a radical, a male hater. I was not a revolutionary. I was actually happy as a housewife with a few writing assignments. My father had been a very kindly but always helpful businessman whom I respected. My husband had been gentle about my community activities and involvements on boards. I was comfortable in my then current roles, and I did not respond kindly to the anger and vindictive rantings of women. How my family teaching of peace may have entered into those thoughts at the time, I don't know. Nevertheless, I knew many other women who had gifts that were truly God-given, and they wanted to use them, even in usual male-dominated roles. It was true. Men held the positions. Men were leaders in their congregation, and they were chosen to be the delegates on boards and whatever activities needed new appointments. And I felt that, but I felt that men should be aware of the usefulness of women, of the thinking of women, of the fresh ideas that could come from enjoying the company and the opportunity to work together with women. So I processed all these thoughts and finally concluded it's not going to make any difference anyway. So on a cold Sunday in January in 1974, I stood in this pulpit. My sermon was Women in the Church Becoming Whole Persons. I identified women from Miriam to Jael to Esther to Ruth and on to Mary, who washed Jesus' feet, the woman at the well, whose story went back to her village as a missional person, Priscilla, and other women in between, verifying their roles as God had called them to serve. And I think I closed by hoping we could again be accepting of women who wanted only to serve as they were called. I do not remember much of a response here at Prayer Street. Nobody sent me any angry notes. But with the word spread about this sermon, and within several months, I was invited to share my input at 5 other congregations. Each of these churches invited a female to pastoral roles soon after. God now is strongly using talents of women, of all, and everyone is accepted and appreciated, serving as whole persons.
In the blue hymnal, number 76. Please stand up and we'll start and sing it in French and then the 3 English verses.
Thank you.
And for our final hymn today, turn in your blue hymnal to number 611. 611, soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Let's stand up to sing.
From the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, make you complete in everything good so that you may do God's will working among us, that which is pleasing in God's sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.